That is the song from last episode with the swear words removed. Before we start episode 11, a brief recap of episode 10 for those listeners who didn't care to hear all the foul language. Matt Eastwood challenged me with Family Reunion by Blink-182, which is essentially 10 curse words sung repeatedly. I argued that the song is in fact a loving homage to a comedy routine from the 70s by George Carlin, a pioneer of free speech, who used the exact same curse words in order over 30 years before Blink-182 sang them in concert. Judge Erica agreed. It's a love song. On with the intro. Hello, welcome to episode 11 of All Songs Are Love Songs. Join us in the gallery of Judge Erica's courtroom while I, Rowan, do my best to convince you and Judge Erica that all songs ever written qualify as love songs. In each episode, guests bring songs as evidence to prove me wrong. In this episode, the return of Randy Hollins.
People just don't have the capacity for love.
And a Matt Morrison.
There's a lot of references to terrorism and murder.
Not the famous Matt Morrison, but a very good one nevertheless. On with the show.
All songs, love songs, love songs.
Okay, well, we are back in the courtroom for another challenge with Judge Erica presiding.
Yes, hello and welcome to my courtroom. Judge, I'm the judge. Prosecution, defense, gallery, welcome. And in the prosecution box today, we have Randy returning. Randy, how are you feeling today?
I'm ready. I lost last time. I'm not prepared to lose again.
Ooh, bold words. I like it. And in case anyone didn't know from last time, what expertise are you bringing to the courtroom today?
Well, I've thought about it since our last visit, and still not much. But I still bring a ton of passion.
Passion goes a long way in the court of Erica. Randy, what song have you brought for us today?
This may seem like an outsider choice, but I've gone with a David Bowie song named Golden Years.
Oh, I love a bit of Bowie.
Mm.
This court approves.
Love it.
Now, Randy, would you care to tell the court why this song is not a love song?
Because in reality, no songs are love songs unless people are singing about themselves.
Whoa.
Whoa. Because people just don't have the capacity for love, really. They're just trying to survive. And this is a shining example of someone talking about himself right now, except that he's telling everybody else what to do. So, Rowan, please tell me how this is not, or how this is a love song.
Does that mean you rest your case?
I have rested my case. I look forward to my rebuttal.
This is my new favorite argument ever.
No songs are love songs unless they're about yourself, because no one has the capacity to love. That's so fantastic.
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. Rowan, please tell us why this is, in fact, a love song.
I would love to. Thank you very much, Judge Erica. And Randy, I feel like you're selling yourself short when you say you're not bringing much expertise, because you have many, many, many years of wisdom behind you.
I am entering my golden years. There is a concept behind my love of this song that is not a love song right now.
I feel like, firstly, I should probably tackle your assertion that nobody has the capacity for love. I thoroughly disagree. I think that I do. I think that puppies do. I think that anybody looking at a kitten has the capacity for love. I love nachos, and that's a capacity that I have. And I've heard many people say that they love burritos and tacos. I think it's an extraordinary move for the prosecution, an extraordinarily bold and baseless move without any evidence to back it up. To just claim that nobody has the capacity
to love a burrito clearly only people... means that you're going to enjoy eating it. And then when does the burrito exist after that point? Absolutely not. It is a completely selfish.
The same can.
That is.
You can say the same for people.
Exactly. People just consume each other. And there's.
Is this court experiencing an existential crisis?
Your Honor, I would ask that you stop the prosecution from interrupting the defense.
Yes. Yes. Sorry. Sustained. Prosecution, if you could kindly sit down.
Oh, dear. Now, actually, having said that, Judge, may I address the prosecution?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Randy, you have a child. Do you have a son or a daughter? You have a son. Do you love your son? Or do you consume your son?
Argument noted.
Okay, I'm going to take your lack of response as a tacit admission that the prosecution indeed has the capacity for love. And I will move on and discuss this song, which was written in 1975 when David Bowie's cocaine addiction was in full swing. It was used in the 2001 film A Knight's Tale as the hero invents a new dance with his love interest at a pivotal moment in the development of their romance. Because not only do the lyrics demonstrate a growing passion, the music has a growing bouncy funk that makes you want to move. This is a joyful, funky love song, inspired musically by the song On Broadway, which has more or less the same kind of feel and two chords, and inspired lyrically by his wife at the time, Angie Bowie. The lyrics are the classic stuff of love songs, and his wife Angie claims in the 2017 biography, David Bowie, A Life, that not only was she the inspiration for the song, but actually Bowie wrote the song for her to perform and sang it to her over the phone. According to Angie, Bowie never ended up giving the song to her and got so wrapped up in his own career that he forgot his promises. And Bowie said that he wrote the song for Elvis, who'd heard the demos for the song and expressed interest, but nothing ever happened between them. I imagine between superstars, there are innumerable great intentions and ideas that never make it all the way to production. This is not the only song about Angie. Bowie also wrote the song The Prettiest Star about her. So the claim that he wrote the song about her is not completely unreasonable. Their marriage was far from typical. She and her husband were both heavily into drugs, and their marriage was open and included other musicians. It was, after all, a 70s rock star marriage. But there is still clearly, at the time of writing, love and affection in this song, and you can imagine how she'd have felt hearing it for the first time through the telephone. Drug addiction doesn't mean you can't love, feel, or create love songs. Everyone, or almost everyone, has the capacity for love. If the prosecution wishes to dispute the particulars of who is the subject of the song, he will still have to overcome the obstacle of the lyrics, which are classic love song material, whether specific or generic. Exhibit A, Angel. Come get up, my baby, look at the sky. Life's begun, nights are warm, the days are young. Exhibit B. I'll stick with you, baby, for 1,000 years. Nothing's going to touch you in these golden years. These are just my favorite lines as samples to demonstrate the tone of the lyrics. It's hard to imagine hearing those and still being a love skeptic about this one. So whether or not it was specifically written for his wife at the time, as she says, or generically, the point remains, plainly in the lyrics and the style of the music, that this is a joyful funk song written with loving lyrics directed at a special someone. I rest my case.
All songs are love songs.
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 Well, thank you. Thank you, defense, prosecution. Thank you for holding your comments. It is now your turn for a 30-second rebuttal, should you care to use it.
Yes, please. Rowan, as always, you mount a strong defense to say that every song is a love song, but once again, I'm going to have to disagree with you. And there's two examples of that. One is something you just said. Despite all of the circumstances of you claiming that it's a love song, his wife says he wrote it about him. Thereby, if it does qualify as a love song, it is only because he is singing about himself. The second part of that is it reminds me of the people that Eric and I tend to work with often, and that we love to mentor them as experienced coworkers. And although I might appreciate the fact that they're at work, so I don't have to be there all the time, love does not necessarily reflect how I feel about the people that Eric and I work with most of the time. But what this song does is provide a little guidance, a little, you know, I'm in this with you. You're going to turn out just great. I feel it. And that's really where this song is coming from. He's probably talking to a bassist or perhaps the person who plays the triangle in the song that, you know what, you stick with it. You're going to turn out all right. And I'm going to give you some words of encouragement, but really we're never going to work together again. So let's just end this on a good note. I really feel like that's where he's coming from. And maybe that's what he was saying to his wife at the time. I do believe they did not last as a marriage. And maybe the drugs were part of that. But he's, you know, he's giving her a little nudge in the arm, a little, you can do it, baby. But really, he knows it's doomed.
Whose side are you on here?
Defense, that rebuttal was convoluted, to say the least. But I definitely enjoyed it. Do you rest your case?
I'm resting my case.
In double-checking with the court stenographer, I have revisited the defense's argument where he did state that David Bowie wrote this for his wife, not about himself. That being said, prosecution, Randy, I'm intrigued by your statement that no songs are love songs unless sung about them themselves because no one has the capacity to love. And I would like to discuss that further in a different courtroom, but for now, in the case of Rowan versus Randy, I'm going to have to go with David Bowie's lyricism and decree this a love song.
Yes! Thank you, Your Honor. Love songs. Well, it turns out people do have the capacity for love and to write love songs. Now, each guest tells me in advance the songs they've chosen so we can both prepare our sides of the debate. I never know which way the judge will be swayed, but I definitely knew this next one was going to be a real challenge. Just before we began recording this next debate, I sent Judge Erica the lyrics. After a long pause, all she wrote back was, "Oh my." Mild language warning, 2 F-bombs ahead. Let's jump back into the courtroom.
Hey, pals.
Morning, Matt. Song, Erica.
Quite the song you chose today.
Yeah.
I couldn't listen to it because it's really yelly. But I read the lyrics.
It's a little aggressive.
I played some of it so that you could get the flavor of the song.
It's pretty flavorful.
I don't like it when people shout at me.
Do you love it?
I might.
Oh, right. Well, we are back in the courtroom with another challenge, a brand new challenger today, with Judge Erica presiding.
Hear ye, hear ye. Welcome to the courtroom. I don't know. I'm full of beans today. I'm very excited.
But you became a town crier for a minute there.
I did. I'm feeling it. I like it. I'm happy with it. Welcome, Rowan, gallery, and today, as the prosecution, we have Matt Morrison. Matt, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much.
Please, could you tell the gallery what expertise you're bringing to the courtroom today?
I am bringing years of music fandom as well as much concert promotion.
Ooh, haven't had a concert promoter in the courtroom yet. What a delightful time. I'm excited. Let's get into it. So, Matt, what song have you brought for evidence today?
Today's song is the song Disciple by the band Slayer.
Oh, my. Well, well then. Matt, why don't you please tell the court why this is not a love song?
Sure. Disciple's the first song on Slayer's classic recording, God Hates Us All. And that actually is the lyrics to the chorus of the same song that we're doing. It takes a very negative outlook towards the human condition. and specifically rejects this, pardon my language, fucking race, and despises this fucking place, meaning Earth, the home of all humans. There's a lot of references to terrorism and murder and disease and a lot of suggestions of hatreds towards all fellow men.
I like it. Do you rest your case?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Rowan, as the defense, would you care to tell the gallery why this is in fact a love song?
Yes, please. Thank you very much. And just a couple of interesting facts just off the top that are not part of my case, but just interesting facts about this. It is from the album God Hates Us All, which was released on September 11th, 2001. Just as a unhappy coincidence for this little the band. The lead track, this song, earned the band their first Grammy nomination, so that's exciting. The band, formed in 1981, is considered one of the big four bands of thrash metal alongside Metallica, Megadeth, and Anthrax. In an article from the New York Times in 1988, writer John Pirelli wrote that the band Slayer brings the sensational imagery of tabloids in horror movies and that their lyrics revel in death, gore, and allusions to Satanism. They revel in it. Yes. So one of the great joys of the world is the variety of people in it. People have very different goals and dreams and pleasures in life, and what suits one person is completely wrong for someone else. Some dream of the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids. Some dream of traveling the world relentlessly, seeking thrills and adventure. So it's fair to say that a love song by Dolly Parton is not going to sound like a love song by Marilyn Manson, for example. Musically or lyrically, appreciating and valuing people's differences shouldn't devalue or dismiss them. My point is that a love song from a band that revels in horror imagery and allusions to death, gore, and Satanism is not going to feature a dozen red roses, unless they're red from blood. And not all love songs are about current romance. They're often about breakups, disappointment and heartbreak, failed love. Sometimes it's not explicit, but we can see the evidence. Because where there's smoke, there's fire, and where there's heartbreak, there's love. Now, the songwriters of this band, Kerry King and Jeff Hanneman, they met and bonded over a love of metal, both appreciating Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin. They've both been married, Kerry three times, so in their real lives, they're no strangers to love, happiness, and optimism. Regarding the composition of this exact song, Kerry King, who wrote the lyrics, says, "I remember being gridlocked in LA where the traffic is terrible, getting angrier and more frustrated, looking up at this big billboard that said, 'God loves you all.' And I remember thinking, 'What? He sure as hell doesn't love me right now.' And it stuck with me." That was recorded in Metal Hammer magazine in 2017. Now, it's important to note that Kerry King, who wrote these lyrics, is an anti-theist, strongly opposed to organized religion. When Revolver magazine asked him what superpower he would want if he was a supervillain, he replied, "The ability to burst a church into flames simply by walking by it." And yet, this song is about God? That's ironic. And that's the line I kept waiting for as I listened to this song. It's, the singer says at the start, "I'll instigate, I'll free your mind." And then a moment later, it's, "I hate everyone equally, and just me and my world of enemies." So we've got an anti-theist writing a song about God. We've got rock stars selling tickets to scream at their adoring fans about rejecting this race and despising this place. The song inspired by a "God loves everyone" sign during a traffic jam. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? This is thrash metal's answer to Alanis Morissette. In 1996, 5 years before this song, the song Ironic, a whimsical love song to the quirks of life, encouraged listeners to keep their sense of wonder and humor as they faced life's challenges. The situations in Alanis's song could be heartbreaking, but that's the point. Life has a funny way. This song, Disciple, has heartbreak at its core. The writer's disappointment with the state of the world as he'd hoped for better. But like Alanis, he offers this irony to help us through. In the lyrics, "Hate heals, you should try it sometime." And "Strive for peace with acts of war." Yes, indeed. It's like rain on your wedding day. This song is about healing through cathartic expression of disappointment, about irony appealing to our humor and humanity to deal with modern problems, a song to help people through heartbreak, and therefore a love song. I rest my case.
All songs are love songs.
All songs are love songs.
All songs are love songs.
Wow. How did Alanis Morissette get here? I'm intrigued and I've got a lot to think about. Matt, as the prosecution, you are entitled to 30 seconds of rebuttal time. Would you care to use that now?
don't think I can rebut that. I can try.
Do you agree with me now?
Nonsense. Gladys Morissette, other than the fact that she portrays a lovely god in the movie Dogma, that god doesn't hate us all. I think you may have a point here, Ron. Oh.
What is happening?
It's a new detail to me that it was inspired by God is love. Yeah, I guess it's a love song.
Well,
Judge, do we have a ruling?
Yes, in this case of Rowan versus Matt, Sawyer has written a beautiful love song.
Yes. Well done.
I didn't expect that.
Nor did I.
Neither did I. Love songs,
the love songs. An unexpected turn of events. Once again, in my effort to convince the judge, I've even won over the prosecution. Hopefully I've won over the gallery as well. You can let us know through Instagram or on Facebook. Search for All Songs Are Love Songs. Now, we only have a couple of episodes left in this season of the podcast, though we are perpetually percolating potential plans for a second season with a different focus. For now, thank you to both of our wonderful guests and Judge Erica. Thank you for listening. See you on the next episode. All songs.